Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is a Thursday, wow, December the 6th, 2018. We have a live show for you today, so we're definitely going to get into that. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll see you in queue, and we'll definitely bring you up. Sorry about we got started a little late, just technical difficulties. It just wouldn't let me in. So definitely we will do that for today. So we're going to – let me get into some administrative things, and then my man Scotty wants to update us on some stuff from yesterday's show. Very important. We have a very, very, very important show for today. A lot of things have happened and going on. We need to give you full awareness of that. So everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network by giving some of your financial energy in the form of a donation. Please donate to Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that at www.blacktalkradionetwork. He forgot to remind me yesterday.
Of what?
Hey, see, there you go. Of what? There you go. So I'm making a donation to Black Talk Radio Network, Keith. There you go. Keith is in queue. So I knew I made a mistake by asking Keith to remind me to do that. So I will definitely take care of that today. So nice try there, Keith. So we're going to make sure we do that. So please give some of your financial energy to this network. Also, you can support the network by being a part of the social media platform known as BTR Community. BTR Community is a social media platform where you can engage in all of your social media activities without being adversely affected. Definitely want to do that. So please engage in that. And that will support for only $24 a year, get you into where you can post things about yourself, your business, and have a more holistic holistic relationship through social media. You don't have to worry about Black Talk Radio Network selling your identity or things of that nature to any bidder at all. So please definitely engage in that. Very, very important for us to do that. So we will get that squared away. So please join BTR Community for only $24 a year. That will actually help the network and support the network. Okay. Also, you want to exchange your cash for real money. Definitely you do want to do that. You could do that at Prosperity Mint. Prosperity Mint, ProsperityMint.com. Definitely want to do that there. And very important for, especially for the things that's going on in the world. So we're going to, with that being said, let me just say this before we get going. We're going to put Keith and I and a couple of others, Dr. O'Meara, we're going to put a seminar together. Got to do it. Some of the listeners, you know, definitely want to do it. And there's some information that definitely you would want to have. I will let you know what that is. We're going to have to put that together, and we'll let you all know. We'll get Prosperity Mint to sponsor it, and then Black Talk Radio Network could be some of the beneficiaries of it, and you all as well. So I will let you know what that is going to be, and it's going to be relatively soon, and how that's going to work. So very, very, very important. All right. So today's show, very important show. Just since yesterday, remember, Keith, when we played Secretary General of NATO saying that they are going to make, well, we played that. When did we play that? Was it
day before yesterday?
Day before yesterday, yeah. So we played that on Tuesday, when the Security General said that they were going to make Georgia a part of NATO. Well, the worst thing that could have happened yesterday. And that was, they said that they're going to make Georgia and the Ukraine part of NATO. And that is going to be today's show. In today's show, the unwise choice has been made to untie the states by war. And once NATO is now going to make Georgia, the country of Georgia and the country of the Ukraine a part of NATO, Russia will probably preemptively strike and invade the Ukraine and preemptively invade Georgia as well. They're not going to let that happen. Very, very, this is the choice that has been made, and you all need to be ready for that. So first article I got out of Freely Naive Network goes. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I wanted to, before you get into what's in the news,
yeah,
do some follow-up, but what you just said, I hadn't read that yet. Man, that's reckless. But it brings something else I saw the other day into context. It wasn't Putin, but it was some Russian official who basically said, "We got our crosshairs on you." So I'm like, man, it's just reckless, man. And I kind of feel like, you know, again, most of these CEOs of USA Inc. lie during when they campaigning to get in the office. And remember, Trump said, why are we fighting all these wars? It's costing us a lot of money, and we're going to bring the troops home and all of that. And I'm wondering how much of this decision is really the neocons, you know, since or is it a way for him to try to say, hey, if I was under the influence of the Russians, I wouldn't be, you know, moving to make Ukraine part of NATO. You know what I'm saying? I can't call it, man.
Right, Scott.
I don't know.
Right.
But,
yeah, and great point.
Yeah. Let me say this, though, about yesterday. Remember we were talking about yesterday, and you was talking about creating something new, and we were talking about, you know, when you set up a governmental system, tribal system, you know, whatever, it's not necessarily the system that's corrupt, but the people running the system that's corrupt.
Right.
And I got an example of that just before we came on air. You know, I was checking my YouTube subscriptions, and so I'm subscribed to Roland Martin, and Roland Martin had on this president. First, let me say this. Yesterday, I read an article on Huffington Post. It was a lady who is disabled. She in a wheelchair. And she wrote an article saying, you know, how George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act or something like that, which, you know, mandated that facilities be handicap accessible or handicapable accessible, you know, as they say. But then she said, but I cannot dismiss how he turned a blind eye to the HIV epidemic and just how many people died as a result, you know, of him not caring about these people dying because they were mainly black and what else did she say? Mainly black people in the gay community. So, you know, so she, that was balanced. She was saying, yeah, I appreciate that he, you know, did this for my disabled community, but I can't turn a blind eye to what he did to other communities. You know, so right. I appreciate her perspective on that. You know, she's looking at it the right way. She's acknowledging, hey, he did this one good thing for my community, but look at what he did to other communities. That's a balanced way of looking at the man. Now,
right.
Now, compare that to what this president, I think he's the president. I'm going to play this clip from Roland Martin's show. Okay, it was an hour-long show, but I'm only going to play the last portion of this black man who's with Hampton University, which is a historically black college and university. And I want you to listen to this man. Listen to his to his words. Okay.
Friend of the court brief on the side of the state of Mississippi. These are just one, two of the several things that I could talk about that shows that he supported HBCUs.
We certainly appreciate having you on the show to offer.
Okay, that he's about to go off air. All right, but let me just say this because I don't want to find it because I didn't plan to play this, but I thought, you know, it's kind of hitting on what we were talking about yesterday. Now, Roland had said earlier, you know, we talked about, you know, the wars and some of the other bad stuff that he did yesterday. And this man said, look, I like him because he supported HBCUs and all that. So that's telling me, okay, because he gave HBCUs some kind of assistance, some kind of aid from the U.S. government, which tells me you are not self-sustaining if you depend on the government. You can't sustain yourself. You know what I'm saying? But he's willing to dismiss that man's role in spreading crack cocaine in the community, the HIV piece I just got through talking about, all the civilian deaths he brought about, how he set up them Iraqi soldiers telling them, oh, if you retreat, you'll have safe passage, and then dropped a bunch of cluster bombs on these people. You know, right. To me, that's telling me you're able to be bought, that you have no moral compass.
All you
care about is what somebody did for you, and you're going to base your opinion and your feelings on what he did for you while dismissing all the atrocities against the rest of humanity and even your own community that he did. So I just wanted to contrast, you know, those two pieces and just how people are just so corrupt, man.
It is, Scotty, and that's what has to be the thing that has to be focused on, Scotty and Pastor Keith, is that, as Scotty laid it out yesterday, it really was, is the corruption. We have to breed out, we have to be able to strain corruption from the overall, being able to present its overall agenda that actually subjugates everyone else. And because, like Scotty said, that just tells that individual is willing to be brought out for whatever. He names his price. And you know what is significant about that? Remember, Keith, when Putin was with in Russia at a summit, he said, the U.S. can't, we don't want anything.
You don't have nothing that we want.
So, because of that, he can't be bought. And this individual, as Scotty was saying, you know, it just told him that he has a price. You name your price, and then they'll bring you whatever it is so that they can get what they want. And so that's the corruption that is really, really, that's what really puts us into the positions of subjugation, because there's always a cost and there's always something that someone is willing to sell out for and compromise the moral high ground for their own personal gain, and so to speak. And so as soon as they have something to offer to you, you become their overall subordinate servant, and their minion, and that's really what that is. And so that is part of, like Scotty said, that's a part of, you know, what we were talking about yesterday.
I think that's a key word that you use, a part of, too, because when I listen to that story, even more than corruption, because he's looking at the good that he did from the HBCU, So if you want to take that a little bit farther, he's looking at the good that he did in the black community. And he's got this guy converted because of good did that in the black community. But if you just switch that over again, like Scotty said, this balance thing, if you look at this Willie Horton thing, this whole Willie Horton thing was really the whole thing that started setting up using the race as a politics as we see it today. That was the foundation of the thinking to this hard on crime, which the Democrats had to follow up on, which is what allowed Clinton to put those in, which put more blacks in prison than anybody else, but simultaneously continue the GOP to carry out this racing and the politics that we're seeing today. And Trump, it's opened all that up.
Sure, sure. It was the precipice of, because you got to remember who that man was. You know, you got to remember his family history, who his father was, and Prescott Bush. And so when you look at that, they're going to do small things that you think are beneficial, but the corruption, the devil is in the details, like what you were saying, Keith, because that was, they used that to further their agenda.
And you know what's so interesting is about what you just said, Dave, which brings up another point that I have to go into given every opportunity, but there's a Bible verse.
Yeah.
And the Bible verse says, they will deceive the people through their good deeds.
Yeah. So, appearance of a good deed. I mean, that's what, but that it appears like it's a good deed.
Well, it's a good deed.
It's a good deed.
But it's just a small bone that they're throwing you
for what their true intention is.
To do exactly what this guy, what Scotty just said, this guy said, I'm in.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact that he wiped out 80% of your community, he held HBCU.
But that's what you want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to talk about what your interest is.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it's corruption. It's corruption. So, well said.
Yeah, and, hey, y'all, you know, you also were right about, you know, using race as a political card. So he probably only did that for HBCUs because he was getting a lot of criticism for the Willie Horton racist ad and other stuff. So, I'm going to buy some black votes by giving some money to some HBCUs. And then that reminds me, you know, it's not that I don't like Roland Martin, but he's done some corrupt stuff too. Okay, now I do think that he does, you know, most of the time when I'm watching some of his stuff, he is providing me with some good information. He has panelists on that's giving some great information or some perspectives and what have you. But when they were trying to get black folks to vote for Hillary Clinton, remember she brought out the black women, the mothers of the murdered or something like that, you know, black women whose children been killed by police or white vigilantes and stuff like that. And then, you know, Roland Martin, her opponent in the Democratic primary was Bernie Sanders, who was talking about free college tuition at state universities and colleges for everybody. You know, you still got to pay for your books and stuff, but tuition going to be free because education should not just be for those who can afford it. You know, it should be for everybody who wants a higher education. And so, you know, I was critical of Roland Martin because all he was talking about, you know, when he was questioning her was the HBCUs. And then he also gave when he was part of the hosting the debate between the two, he had gave Hillary Clinton some of the questions in advance. And that's why, what's her name? Donna Brazile got fired for passing those questions along.
Donna
so,
Brazile. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And because it's all corrupt. See, because they made those, they wanted to give to those HSBCUs because they already knew that they had somebody that had did what? They were able to corrupt at those overall levels, so then they wanted to highlight this is what we're doing. And let me tell you something about a donation. When they give these donations, they're not giving one penny from themselves.
Absolutely not.
Because what they're giving away is coming back to them double.
Right.
It comes back double. So they're not giving anything. So very, very important. So man, we definitely need to bring this back up because it's a lot to this, and it's a part of. And so we will. And
you're right though, Dave. How can they, when you paying taxes, all they doing is giving you back your money. So how is they doing anything for you?
Right. They're not giving anything. What it is that they're increasing their overall wealth. Whenever you hear these celebrities in certain cases, when they have a trust, when they have a foundation, whenever they make a donation, they are actually increasing the overall wealth of that foundation by giving it away. So-called give it away, because they're not giving anything away. It's coming back to them, not only from the write-offs, but also it comes back to them from the overall institutions that they give. It's nothing what it appears to be. Nothing what it appears to be. And we definitely need to definitely talk about that.
And one last thing, though, Dave. This is why Black Talk Media Project struggles. You know, you are right. Those who eat the fruit should feed the roots. I love that saying, man. They should. The majority of the people are not, so we struggle. Now, if I was a sellout, I could get money from certain organizations and stuff to talk about what they want me to talk about and run the network how they want me to run the network, instead of it being, you know, an open network for us to speak our minds and speak, you know, the truth as we know it and what have you. So that's why I still refuse to apply for those type of grants and stuff. If the people who listen to it can't sustain it, then it'll just die before I sell out to these people that want to control our platforms to begin with. Okay. But then on another, this is the last thing. I don't know if you saw this story, but I posted it in BTR community. Al Sharpton, president of the National Action Network, right? Okay. Do you know he just sold his life story rights for $500,000? Guess who he sold it to?
To the foundation, because I saw the story, to the nonprofit.
So all these people been donating this money to the National Action Network for them to address issues affecting Black people, and $500,000 of that money's going into Al Sharpton's pocket because he gave them the rights to his story for 10 years. I'm like, man, that's just blatant corruption right there, man. He's using that foundation to enrich himself. So then how can he then say anything about how Donald Trump runs his foundation in enriching himself?
Right, Scotty. So true. And that's the scam of it all. And we're going to definitely talk about that. And it's so important because it's all synonymous. It all goes together. And so, and we definitely will touch on that. So very, very important. We'll come back to that as well, because we got to do shows just on that. But Scotty said something that was important, and I'm going to, you know, we said we were going, but I'm going to hold on to this for a minute. You know, Scotty says, I refuse to go to those platforms. So Keith, make sure that happens today. So we will do that. And it's important because if we have to support this network, because the Republican Party wants to give Scotty millions. The Democratic Party wants to give Scotty millions because they have an agenda that they want to see to go through. And it's not just them. The neocons and everybody else, they'll give you plenty. As Scotty said, he can go for them and get them, but he refused to do that because the thing about this, remember, every deal you make with the devil, you ultimately lose your soul. And so, very, very important. So we'll come back to that, but we got to get into the show, Keith. Definitely. You got to. But you wanted to chime in?
Yeah, just the one comment along the same lines is, sure, they'll give you millions, but there's a reason
why
they'll give you millions. All right.
Yeah, and that's what Scotty says. It's not acceptable. So we have to feed the roots of Black Talk Radio Network. So keep make sure that you stop eating the fruit all day today, please. Could you please feed the roots? Okay, we definitely will do that. So, and you too, all of the listeners, we definitely need it. Where else would you be getting the information that you get if it wasn't for Black Talk Radio Network? We won't have that. It's because everything else has already been bought and sold. You know, the airways is sacred to this overall corruption.
So, airways are vital for everything. Every agenda, airways are vital, have to. All right, so we got to get into today's show. Very, very important show. I'm going to run through what's in the news and then get into today's show. And I'm going to have no qualms in saying this. We are definitely moving so much closer to this overall war that will be announced relatively soon. Here's what happened. As I said yesterday, the security general of NATO was meeting, and they had that announcement. We played it on Tuesday, what they were saying, but then they changed everything else, and they said that they are actually going to allow Georgia and the country of Georgia and Ukraine to be a part of NATO. That's immediate. That's a war. That's a declaration of war against Russia right then and there. And Russia has always said they reserve the rights to preemptively strike. And they've always said that Georgia and Ukraine will never be a part of NATO. They will invade it first. And Russia will invade the Ukraine. And I expect that to happen very shortly. Now, here are some of the articles. Today's show, the unwise choice has been made to untie the states by war. And this is going to cause the U.S. to go into a war and get untied as the overall corporation. And so, very important. First article from Cerebrally Naive Network. U.S. makes preparation to sail warship into the Black Sea amidst Russian-Ukraine tension. We're going to cover that. Very important what that is. Next article from Strategic Culture. Ukraine proposals to have NATO warships in the Azov Sea finds receptive audience in the United States. They're pushing this. They're pushing it. Next article from RT International. U.S. Navy sends ships to Russia's Far East, reportedly prepares to enter the Black Sea. There was some they tried to do it in a small realm yesterday, and a bigger one is coming. Next article from Cerebrally Naive Network. U.S. warships challenge Russia's claim in the Sea of China. You see what's happening? They're positioning this overall war, Keith, major. Next article from Sputnik News. Activation of Russian S-400 in Syria increases the threat to U.S. troops, a general said. So remember, they said they were going to send over the S-300. What did the general say? No. They got the S-400 there. That's the first time that I heard that the S-400 system was in Syria. I'm not surprised, but that was the first omission. Next article, critical article. This is where the U.S. and China is falling completely apart. The war with them will be happening soon. From Cerebrally Naive, no. This is from Criminals Nothing But Criminals, CNBC. Canada reportedly arrests the Huel CFO facing extradition for allegedly violating Iranian sanctions. This is what happened. Read it again. The CFO of a major Chinese corporation was arrested yesterday in Canada. Okay? But I'm going to come back to that. And her father is the key to this. Her father is Ren out of China, one of the most prolific businessmen in the country.
In which country?
In China.
Okay.
In China.
Because I know that China's had major complaints. Canada has had major complaints with China coming in there and overtaking their economy, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why I asked.
What country?
Right.
Yes. And this is critical because now we're getting ready to go into, wait a minute, you're going to arrest somebody for violations of sanctions? I've never heard of that. You're going to arrest an individual for a corporation that's violating? Usually what happens in sanctions, if your corporation violates the sanctions, the overall corporation is penalized financially.
Absolutely. It's civil, and, not criminal.
And so now you're going to arrest her and seize her in Canada to send her for extradition to the U.S.?
But Dave, let me ask you this, go ahead, Scotty. What gives the United States the right to tell sovereign nations and citizens of those sovereign nations who they can and can't do business with? Because you at war with somebody else. Oh, I got to be at war with somebody else. You know what I'm saying? And I just had a thought. It could be incorrect. But China seems to be, which is, we told, is a communist country, and it is, it's a communist country, but we've been told, you know, about how bad communism is and whatnot, but it seems to me that the Chinese is beating them at their own capitalism game. And that's
they are, Scotty.
Yeah.
Scotty's absolutely right there. That's, see, and why is that? Because the U.S. has lost all of its geopolitical, see, they can't bribe with the dollar anymore because it's not worth anything. And this is all going, and Scotty said, who are they to tell somebody who you can do business with? If you don't like them, don't you do business with them. So this is the overall trade war that's now escalated. See, this is very, very important, Keith. This is very, very important. See, in times of war, the Trading with the Enemy Act comes in, and they can arrest you inside of other countries. And that is going to be a critical thing. Wait until China starts arresting U.S. for that. And then not only that, those of us that have investments in Chinese companies and everything else, guess what's going to happen? And where the overall benefits or the profits are going to China. Guess what's going to happen? Those overall investment entities are going to be seized. They're not going to give it back to you. This is the war that's ramping up huge. Next article.
Hold it. With that being said, okay, I hear what you're saying. How does dual citizenship come into play?
In a time of war, I don't think that dual citizenship is really going to matter. It's really going to matter of where you are, what country you're in, and what their stance is with your overall citizenship, dual or not. Because now, when you go into wars, what happens? Troops cross borders. And so in overall enactment, what happens? You got to look at World War II. What did they do to the Japanese citizens that were here, even though they were what? American citizens. What did they do to them? Interned them. They put them in internment camps. So this is how this whole thing is really starting
to unfold.
That was
illegal to do.
Dave, going back to what you said about Prescott Bush, did he get arrested for violating the Trading with the Enemy Act?
He sure didn't. And you're right, Keith, it is illegal to do. But remember what NDAA and the Patriot Act provides for. It does away with everything due process has. So illegal, yes, it was illegal, but guess what? Those people still were in prison in Japanese.
Yeah, and you know, I don't like the wording that I'm about to use, Dave.
But you gotta use it.
But that's a poor choice that you're using. And the reason why I'm saying that is if you look at the United States as an example for anything, it goes back to Scotty's statement. How are we gonna dictate who does business with who?
Mm-hmm.
Well, go farther than that. How we dictate what business does what they do with the two militarily?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it goes farther than that. How we dictate who travels in what waters off of their own coast?
Right.
Well, it goes farther than that. Who are we to tell what currency a country wants to use with another country? You know, we go, and so if you start looking at the United States, At the risk of sounding unpatriotic, but
that's the truth.
Scotty's word, what he said, corrupt.
Yeah.
The corruption in this country is almost so complete and has been since its inception.
Yeah. It's filled with ubiquitous fraud. Now, to what you were saying is that, where is this young lady right now? She's in custody. See, and I bring out these things just so that we know. Is it wrong? Yes, but guess what? She's still in custody. She is actively in custody right now. It's wrong, but we need to talk about these things so that you can make sure that you put yourself in a position of advantage to know what the stakes are so that you won't have to say, well, this is illegal, what you did to me. Avoiding it is very, very important. Avoidance is very, very important. So We got to get going. Next article from Russia Insider. What foreign threat? The biggest threat to America comes from his friends. I would say no. The biggest threat from America comes from his overall corporation of the United States. That's from Russia Insider. Next article. This one comes from Bloomberg. And it is, here we go. Bloomberg, the Huawei CFO arrested in Canada as U.S. seeks her extradition. Once again, that's just another part of that. And I'm going to, I'm not going to play that because it's just too much is going on. Next article comes from
Before you go to
the Chinese embassy.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, thank you.
So that's a story we just talked about with that same Chinese girl?
Yes, she's a CFO, yes.
They said that we...
And they chose her, they targeted her.
The United States did.
They targeted her specifically because of who her father is.
The United States did?
Yes.
What are we trying to do? What is the United States trying to do?
That's a big problem. So what I think is happening is the U.S. is actually starting trying to show its might and trying to get people to bow down. Because guess what? They're going to start arresting other people as well. This is Gestapoism. This is fascism. This is Gestapoism, and it's going to grow. And so that was completely illegal for sanctions because her company, and she's the CFO, because they're doing business with Iran, and she's not even an American. Man, this is really big. Now, check out the Chinese embassies, the remarks from the spokesman of the Chinese embassy in Canada on the issue of the Chinese citizen being arrested by Canada's side. Check out that there. They had a statement. Then this one comes from CNBC. Arrest of the CFO. The gloves are now fully off, says the Eurasian group. And the Eurasian, when you talk about Eurasian, you're talking about Russia and China. And they're saying the gloves are now completely off. And so that article is there. It's going to be bad. Next article, the market sell-off continues as Dow futures get hit because of China's response to what's going on. Next article from South China Morning Post. Seoul worries as China sends military aircraft into air defense zone. Check out that article. Next article from Press TV. U.S. Senate bill declares MBS complicit in Khashoggi's death. Next article from Military Times. NATO tests electronic defenses as cyber warfare threat grows. Incomplete. Another article, very important. South China Morning Post. Portugal signs agreement with China on Belt and Road Initiative. Look with all of the overall alliances that China is making throughout the world. Next article from Press TV, U.S. military in Africa to exploit the continent. Next article from Newsweek, Russia is putting laser weapons into service as the U.S. threatens to end its nuclear missile treaty. And last article is from NBC News. U.S. destroyer challenged Russia's claim in the Sea of Japan, and they actually were chased off and rebuffed it. So that's what's in the news. We got a lot to get into on today's show. So stand by for that. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. Now, very, very significant. And yesterday, when the Security General of NATO had given NATO, is starting the process to make the Ukraine and Georgia a NATO country. Very, very significant. That's a guaranteed war. And so what I need to do is I need to give you all some history about what's going on here. But before we do that, and once they said that, they said that now because the Ukraine is a NATO country, now that they can have NATO warships all around in Ukraine waters to protect them. So they're going to try to send in NATO warships into the Black Sea. Let me just tell you this. Russia ain't going to allow that to happen. I'm definitely seeing a U.S. or a NATO ship getting sunk in the Black Sea. I also see Russia preemptively invading and striking NATO and the U.S. because of this. They will do it. They're not going to allow that NATO state to happen. So there's an article, and it's in from Cerebrally Naive Network, real quickly. And it says, U.S. Navy Black Sea Russian. Oh, no, hold on. Let me just let it pull up. It says this, U.S. making preparations to sail warships into the Black Sea amidst the Russian-Ukraine tensions. And this is one of the worst things that could be done. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to give you the incident. I think I made a mistake. I said the USS Cole. It was the USS Donald Cook. I made a mistake there. So I'm going to give you that instance. But here it is. U.S. making, this is from Cerebrally Naive Network, commonly referred to as Keith would like to say CNN. U.S. making preparations to sail warships into the Black Sea amidst Russian-Ukraine tensions. The United States has begun making necessary preparations to sail a warship into the Black Sea, a move that comes amidst heightened tensions in the region following Russia's seizure of the Ukrainian ships and detention of Ukrainian soldiers. The United States military has requested that the State Department notify Turkey of its possible plan to sail a warship into the Black Sea. Three U.S. officials tell CNN, a move they say is a response to the Russian actions against the Ukraine with connections with the Black Sea and the Sea of Azov. For its part, the Russian Ministry of Defense announced yesterday, that its troops in eastern Crimea, which Moscow seized from the Ukraine, see, they said Moscow seized it from the Ukraine. No, Moscow annexed it, and then Russia annexed it, and then they had a vote for the Crimeans because they weren't going to allow that to happen. What they did with Crimea is what they're going to do with the Ukraine. They're going to invade it and annex it. In 2014, conducting a military drill, active preparations. The Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs also claimed Wednesday that the Ukrainian government has undertaken active preparations for military offenses in eastern Ukraine, using the recent declaration of martial law in sections regions as covered. Substantial offensive components are being transferred to the region, which are being being dispersed along the entire contact line. The U.S. is required to notify Turkey about the passage through the strait under the convention in 1936 treaty that governs the passage of military vessels through the, and another thing, they're going to try to get Turkey to come along with this through the Budapest Strait. And I don't think that Turkey is going to do it. Turkey is going to side with Russia, even though they're NATO nations. Yes. Through the Budapest, which connects the Mediterranean to the Black Sea. Under the rules of the treaty, countries that do not have a coastal line on the Black Sea are required to provide Turkey with at least 15-day notice prior to transiting the strait. So now you have an idea of how much time we probably have until the U.S. naval vessel tries to make its way into the Black Sea, roughly about two weeks. Prepare to respond. The State Department spokesman said the United States carries out its active contentions with the terms of the Montrose Convention will not, however, comment on the nature or the diplomatic response with the government of Turkey. The two of the officials said that the notification was to provide the Navy with the option to move a warship into the area, but this option would not be necessary if it was selected. Our Sixth Fleet is always prepared to respond where it's called, the Commander Raines said, a spokesman for the fleet, which oversees the naval operations in the region. Let me stop there. Why did the Fifth Fleet's Vice Admiral on Saturday kill himself? Probably why? Because he knows this all was coming.
On Saturday of this week?
Last week, yes. the vice admiral of the Fifth Fleet killed himself, which his responsibility is what? Is the Middle East, Strait of Hormuz, in the Mediterranean. So check out that. We are routinely conducting operations to advance security and stability through the U.S. Sixth Fleet area of operations to include international waters and airspace of the Black Sea, Reins told CNN. We reserve the right to operate freely in accordance with international laws and norms, he added. The planning comes as heightened tensions between Washington and Moscow on a range of issues. On Wednesday, the U.S. Navy sailed a guided missile destroyer, the USS McCambo, near contested waters in the Sea of Japan, an action that is bound to irk Russia. And then they contested that overall vessel as well. Let me give you an indication of why I think that Rear Admiral killed himself. Because he knows the Navy is going to get slaughtered by Russia. I mean, absolutely slaughtered. Here's why they're going to get slaughtered. What I need to do is I need to play this for you to hear this. Let me just set it up real quickly. And in 2014, I told you about what happened to the USS Donald Cook many times here on this show when it went into the Black Sea. So what I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to hear from this just to rehash what happened. And what happened in the Black Sea, I'm going to have to wait till we come back after a commercial break. What happened in the Black Sea, this Rear Admiral is well aware of, extremely well aware of. And not only that, everything else that's going on. And I think the last Fifth Fleet commander, Rear Admiral, I think he died in service as well. So I don't think it's a coincidence here. But here's what you need to know about this incident. And I'm going to tell you, just to give you an idea, the Russian aircraft that you're going to hear about is a Russian aircraft from the 60s and 70s. Chief, would any aircraft from the 60s and 70s pose any threat to any modern day aircraft or naval vessel, you would think?
You would think not.
Absolutely not. It's from the 60s. And guess what? The vehicle, I just wanted to let you know, this vehicle is the aircraft was the SU-24. They are up to now the SU-64 and SU-57 now. So it just shows you in number wise how far back it was, right? So very, very, very important. So this one video is about 6 minutes long. We want you to hear this. Then I got to play you some stuff about Georgia, so you'll know what's really going on and how significant this whole thing is with Russia and the Black Sea and what the U.S. has been doing. It is not good. Not good at all. So we'll do that when we come back out of the commercial break. You need to know and have the appropriate prepare for this. Because it is not going the way it is going to really explode. And this is deliberate. And the U.S. is the aggressors here. This is, you know, Russia is not in the Gulf of Mexico. They're not in the Sea of Cortez. They're not in, you know, off the coast of, you know, they're not doing those type of things. If they're doing those type of things, they're doing it from military, you know, covert means of military, and they're moving out. They're not saying, hey, we, this is what we're going to do, and you're not going to do anything about it. So this is why all of this armament has been moved. So listen, we're going to make this commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. We want to give you some content as to what's going on so that you can make your own decisions as to in that. Believe me, you should. So we'll be right back after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. It's the Tando Radio Show brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is the call-in number. We'll see you in queue. Just hold on, because I want you to hear this. I'm going to put this inside of the chat room so Scotty can play this six-minute video. Very, very, very important that we hear what happened, and then I'll tell you more about it once we get back. Okay, so from that. So I posted this, Scotty, if you could get a chance, whenever you're ready to play it, if you would. And while we wait for that to happen, let me just, you know, it's, I was hoping that this wouldn't be the overall case in what we would have to be dealing with, but it is. And so we need to face, you know, those things, and we need to do it very, very constructively. So there are some things that you're going to need to do. So once Scotty plays this, then we'll come back and give our commentation, our commentary to it. Give Scotty a chance. I don't know. Maybe Scotty's not there. Let me see. All right. So Scotty,
I'm here, Dave. I'm here, Dave. I'm here. I'm sorry. I was distracted.
No, you're good.
Okay, I'm pulling it up now. Nation, is it Nation Biz Farewell?
It is. I put it. Let me make sure I put it in.
He the, said, but
the right one in.
No, that's not the right one. That's the one I pulled up. Let me pull it up, man. Something just happened in our community,
and
that's kind of a heinous crime. And I was distracted trying to find information on it.
Yeah, no problem. It's in the chat room. And Scotty, I want you, because, you know, all of you that have been in the military now, the vehicle, the actual aircraft that Russia is going to be using, aircraft that the Russians are going to be using is an extremely old, from the 60s and 70s and 80s aircraft that they use against.
According to the world leading news agencies, on Saturday, April 12th, 2014, Russian Su-24 attack aircraft flew over the American destroyer Donald Cook, equipped with the Aegis ballistic missile defense system and well-armed, including Tomahawk cruise missiles. On Monday, April 14th, the Pentagon official made a surprisingly emotional, even somewhat hysterical comment about the incident. This provocative and unprofessional Russian action is inconsistent with international protocols and previous agreements on the professional interaction between our militaries. Indeed, what is a big deal that unarmed frontline bomber of the old generation flew even 12 times over one of the US destroyers armed to the teeth and specially equipped for air defense? After all, during the Cold War era, these sorts of flybys were common practice of relations between the United States and the Soviet Union. So what happened this time? What hurt the Americans so much? Moreover, according to unofficial sources, after the incident, Donald Cook made an emergency stop in the port of Constanța, Romania, where 27 crew members submitted resignation reports and expressed intention to leave the ship immediately. Some of them actually left the ship. Indirectly, it is confirmed in the official statement of Pentagon. It alleges that the action of the Russian warplane demoralized the crew. This story is bizarre. Actually, the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer USS Donald Cook is armed for much more critical missions than fighting off the old and slow Su-24 fencer. What is the point to get demoralized? The crew had a perfect opportunity for another relatively easy battle drill, and yet the crew was demoralized. 27 people filed resignation reports with wording, "Don't want to risk my life." So what really happened in international waters? The possible answer could be found in the mysterious word Hibini. Hibini is a name of mountain range of the Kola Peninsula in Russia. However, there is another Hibini, the newest Russian radio-electronic warfare system, designed for warplanes of the next generation. The information about this system is very limited. Some public sources report that recently Hibini was tested by Su-24 jets in the exercise in Buryatia. Nothing can demoralize a military man as much as his own powerlessness. In such context, the real situation could have been as follows. On April 10, 2014, the aforementioned destroyer arrived in international waters of the Black Sea to demonstrate power and intimidate Russia for uncompromising position on Ukraine and Crimea. At that time, the guided missile destroyer USS Truxtun was already in the Black Sea in violation of Montreux Convention. It was a very common saber-rattling and international harassment typical for the USA. Russia responded with dignity. On April 12th, the great day of cosmonautics, Sukhoi Su-24 bomber jet was sent to greet the guests. The jet was not armed, but it carried Hibini under the wing. Cook detected the target from far away. The crew was on alert and ready to do their duty. Aegis was in control of targeting systems. Everything was in order. And all of a sudden, boom! Everything died out. Aegis is not working. Radar screens show garbage, and missiles cannot receive the target data. Meanwhile, Su-24 went right over the deck of Cook, made a U-turn, and simulated a missile attack on target. We may count this attack successful because there was no defense at all. Then it turned around and simulated another attack, and so on 10 more times. All attempts of technicians to revive Aegis and provide targeting to air defense system have failed. Only when the silhouette of Sukhoi melted away in the clouds above the Russian coast, the screens came back to life and targeting systems resumed scanning of clear April sky. Bottom line, we can fairly guess that when Su-24 turned on Hibini in the proximity of Cook, the air defense system of destroyer became disabled. Russian jet made 12 mock attacks on American warship. During that time, the crew was unable to revive disabled electronic systems. Everything started working again when Su-24 set course back to home. Then, facing their own helplessness against a common warplane armed with a new radio-electronic warfare system, 27 frustrated crew members submitted the resignation reports. Cosmonautics Day, April 12th, 12 times. A warning with a special meaning.
Okay, so that was the incident in 2014 with the USS Donald Cook in the Black War in the Black Sea. The Russians sent up an old SU-24.
Michael Cohen is lying, and he's trying to get a reduced sentence for things that have nothing to do with me.
That's more from President. Okay,
and so that I needed you to hear that. So just imagine you're on this, the USS Donald Cook. And when that overall Donald Cook, the most supposed to have the most advanced guided missile in aerial defense of anything that the U.S. is or anything in the world has ever produced, is the most advanced and sensitive targeting system. They see the SU-24 coming. They recognize and they identify it as the SU-24. They probably start laughing at the Russians that they're sending up a single key. Sending up one single SU-24 against our USS Donald Cook. And then all of a sudden, it went blank. The targeting went blank. And the SU-24 was able to have bombing runs on the USS Donald Cook 12 times. And they were completely defenseless. They were dead in the water. After that, the Donald Cook had to go into port, and that's when there was the resignation of 27.
No, back up. They striked it 12 times,
mm-hmm.
meaning those were mock attacks on the ship.
On the ship.
So they did that 12 times,
mm-hmm.
and then they left.
And then,
and as soon as they left,
the targeting,
all the avionics came back on.
Online. Right, right. All of the Aegis system came back online. So imagine they laughed when the SU-24 came in, the SU-24, and when it left, it had them crying. Because they realized what? That they were dead in the water. And they purposely set up an SU-24 with had no arms on it, no armaments on it.
That sounds like a field test to me, Dave.
That's what it was, Scotty, right. It was a field test. What they wanted to do was demoralize the Navy. And so they went back to port, Keith and Scotty, and then that's when 12 officers resigned their commission, because those are the only ones that could resign as officers.
But why would they be forced to resign? When I say field test, it sounds like to me the Russians got some kind of weapon that can disable their targeting systems. And why would I resign because they got some weapon that disabled my ship? That don't make sense to me.
Oh, no, Scotty. What they weren't forced to they resigned on their own. They resigned their commission. And they resigned their commission and they said it's because I don't want to lose my life.
Oh, really? Mm.
Yes. That's what they did. They resigned their commission, said, no, I don't want to be, because they realized that they were dead in the water with, but, and they have the most advanced, and they sent up a slow SU-24 with the new cellular weapons.
Is they were dead in the water.
Dead in the water.
Because the Russians rendered them dead in the water.
Yeah, Scotty, right, Keith, and that's the most important. The Russians totally nullified the most advanced weapon system that the Navy could produce. The most advanced weapon system is in the world. And they nullified it. Remember, they told the U.S. when they wanted to move ballistic missiles into Poland and everything else, if you do that, we will hit you with cellular weapons. And that's what they hit them with. So now they're sending the Navy back into there. I'm going to tell you this. This time, there won't be SU-24s. This time, there will be SUs, whatever they're going to use, they're going to be armed, and they're going to sink a U.S. ship.
Easily.
They're not going to allow you. You're going to go into a beehive that you can't come out of.
As a matter of fact, beyond easily, they're going to sink American ship because only one person is going to be fighting.
Yeah.
The United States is, we have to bring that to perspective.
Yeah.
They're going to go into the fight with no weaponry. Zero.
Well, they have advanced technology that doesn't work. Because their screens are going to be taken out.
Right.
And so the Donald Cook went back in to port for repairs, and that's when them 27 officers said, I quit.
I'm done.
I'm not crazy. You're not going to kill me.
No, you're going to send me into a war with no rifle.
What did they do? They actually hit them with a cyber attack that nullified all
exactly.
of their. They said, no way, we can't defeat that. And it was so shocking to the crew. It was so shocking.
They had no idea.
They had no idea. They didn't even know that the Russians had that type of capability.
That's why they giggled when they first saw that ship.
I put that in. But I'm pretty sure they
giggled.
They probably giggled, said, oh, it's an SU-24 that's coming. And then everything after they'd done his 12 bombing runs, they was all crying as they limped back in the port, and that's when they got out. This is very significant because this means that the U.S. is ill-prepared to deal with Russia. Remember the congressional findings. They said that they can't deal with the Russians. Let me go to Brother Davis real quick, that's in queue, and then we're going to go to the second part of it. Brother Davis, what say you?
Hey, brother, the great show as usual. I'm out here in the beautiful sun. But listen, one of the main things that Russia was trying to do at that particular time was let them know that they were literally going to be the decoys of the next war. This is why I said yesterday,
yeah,
that this war that they're going in may be designed for America to fail. Because you have to understand, if they have that kind of technology that they can use over water, what do they have that works on land that can be stabilized and maintain a certain area of control? So we fail to realize two things. One of the things we fail to realize is those military people who resigned, they resigned because they knew of the dynamic possibilities of overall death. There ain't no equation now. You took away my ability to attack you. How do I defend myself? That's why they left. And in reality, we as an American people have to come to the realization that our value, if the military value has been lessened, our value has been lessened. And the reason why is because we are not taking the proper control of our lives. We're allowing these oligarchs to profit. And they will, because guess what? They did it at 9/11. For those of you who don't know, 9/11, those buildings were insured to something like $50 billion. So when they went down, they got double money back because they had a rider that said, if it happens by a terrorist attack, you pay double. See, so they know exactly what they're doing. And another thing I want to add, we have to, as a people, stop bickering over our differences. These people do not care about us. And until we decide that we're going to make a move as a power piece, and not different groups, as a power piece of humanity, we allow ourselves to be victimized by these people who have no desire to see us have any prosperity or longevity at all. I just wanted to add that.
Well said, Brother Davis, and it stands alone on what you said. So true. And it was really, and I also take it as, it was really Russia's signal to U.S. forces, don't let them bring you into this death trap. Don't let them bring you into this death trap. How many people you think heard about the USS Donald Crook incident?
Not very.
But everybody on that Donald Crook.
They told. But it was blanked out from the American people like everything else.
Yeah.
But look here, bro.
Yeah, don't do it.
You better get out while you can. But the other thing that Brother Davis talked on, and I think we touched on this yesterday, because he said, if they can do that to that ship, and that was the other point that we were making the other day. You remember I said, why even go into conventional warfare?
Yeah.
Because, again, they cut off our power grid, and the studies show that 80% of the population dies off in a year. Which is the exact same thing.
6 months. Right.
Which is that same thing. Just like you disabled that ship, you disabled the whole continent of the United States for the most part, which cuts off all the food supply lines and everything else.
Yep.
6 months, it takes out 80% of our population. You know, the thought that we're going into a war, except for what Brother Davis was saying, for the elite that know that they're taken care of, for the rest of us, it's ridiculous. But then again, you have to think in terms of what the elite, the sense of evilness into them to allow that to happen. As a matter of fact, to induce that to happen so that they can line their pockets. You're looking at a level of evilness that I don't think we've never taken the time to comprehend.
I agree with you, Keith. And let me just read something to everyone from the congressional findings that they had, and it's public. And now we can't say that we didn't know. That's what they always want to say. Well, we put it out there, but no, you didn't. It was actually hidden. But there's a significant. Report that came out, and we read it here on Tando Radio Show. It says, providing for the common defense, the assessment and recommendations of the National Defense Strategy Commission. So this was Congress, the bipartisan committee, and they looked at the overall military's capability, and it was they basically said the U.S. is going to lose the war. Let me read to you page 14, okay? And in page 14, the last paragraph of page 14, It says this: if the United States had to fight Russia in the Baltic contingency or China in a war over Taiwan, Americans could face a decisive military defeat. These two nations possess precision strike capabilities, integrated air defenses, cruise and ballistic missiles, advanced cyber warfare, and anti-satellite capability. What does anti-satellite capabilities mean? They can make the whole U.S. dark from their satellites on the battlefield. They won't, your GPS won't work. They'll take out the U.S.'s satellites. It goes on.
All communications.
This is what Congress said that Russia and China's capabilities are. Significant air and naval forces and nuclear weapons, a suit of advancement capabilities henceforth possessed only by the United States. The U.S. military faces a daunting challenge in establishing air superiority or sea control or retake territories lost early in a conflict against an enemy equipped with, here it is right here, against an enemy equipped with advanced anti-access and air and area denial capabilities. Where did they find out about Russia's anti-access and anti-denial capabilities? Donald Cook. In attributes of the United States capital assets, ships, planes, tanks could be enormous. The prolonged, deliberate buildup of overwhelming forces in their theaters that are traditionally been the hallmark of the American expeditionary warfare would vastly be more difficult and costly, and if at all possible. Put it bluntly, the United States military could lose the next state versus state war it fights. And that was just talking about if it fought China or Russia individually. But you're not going to fight them individually. You're going to fight them collectively.
And throw Iran in there.
What's that?
I said throw Iran in that alliance.
Right. Throw Iran into that alliance.
Hey, let me ask this question. Let me ask you this question.
Wait. Go ahead, Scotty.
This is my question. Now, I'm questioning, did that happen to that ship because of something the Russians have, some secret weapon, you know, that we don't know about? Or is it a deficiency in the ship? Because I remember reading some articles about, you know, and again, this speaks to corruption and capitalism and what have you, and how they privatize everything, and profit is the motive, and then when your motive is profit, you have all these cost overruns, you try to hide deficiencies and all of that. Because I was reading about, I don't know if it was a ship or a plane, but they cost like, I think like $1 billion a piece, man. And the U.S. was canceling orders, was like after they purchased these. You know what I'm talking about? You know the details.
Last week. Yeah, Scotty. I totally forgot about that part of it, Chief, because Scotty's absolutely right. I think the Russians and the Chinese definitely have advanced cellular and cyber weapons. But the deficiency makes it even worse.
It does, but Scotty could absolutely be right. But why I would not think so is because that plane came there.
And then when it left.
No, that plane came there.
Yeah.
It did 12 striping because we're showing you something.
Yeah.
We didn't come here because you might have a mishap. We come here to show you something. We did 12 striking to let you know that we can do this, and it's not a god dang thing you can do about it.
And then when they left,
it came back on.
All their stuff came back on.
That had to be cyber.
But and I think in all, with the deficiencies, that's just going to, of course, multiply.
Absolutely.
I totally forgot about that part until Scotty said, you know. But it was the weaponry.
Absolutely.
And then the weaponry is going to be magnified by the deficiencies, because we played how the U.S. can't win a war on that YouTube video, talked about the Navy with its ships and everything else. And so, yeah, this is really, really here. And then now they want to send naval ships into the Black Sea. Man, you're going to get hurt.
And let me say something. Never mind, I'm not going to say that. But these aren't new problems that the military is having either. These problems have been around for decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
Yeah.
In which they didn't have the money for the repairs of the aircraft, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So even then, you got to ask, how is it that we were spending 10 times what the next nations were spending combined, but yet we couldn't afford? They've lost $21 trillion.
Yeah, $21 trillion,
and unaccounted.
And then the national debt is $20 trillion. How you lose $21 trillion in your national debt is crazy. We got another caller in queue. Let's go to this caller. Want to hear them before we go to the commercial break? We got 5 minutes before then. My man Roz wants to chime in. Roz, what's going on? What say you, brother? Please forgive me,
brother Dave. Peace, brother Dave. Peace to you, Keith. Peace to you, Brother Keith. Peace to Scott, the other calls and listeners. I had a couple of things I wanted to touch on. Brother David brought up 9/11, and a few days ago I posted an article that was discussing the fact that a group of lawyers have been trying to have the government investigate how the towers fell, citing the fact that they were collapsed by controlled demolition. All these years they've been rejecting it. Finally, they have enough evidence that the government's going to look into it. So everything that a lot of us have been saying from day one, fire department people, just people who do that type of work, finally are saying what we all said. It wasn't the planes that brought it down. It was a controlled demolition. It was supposed to happen. And they were speaking about that in relation to World Trade Center 1, 2, and World Trade Center 7. So that's going to begin, I'm thinking, probably in the next year or two. I posted that article on BTR a few days ago. Now, I thought what Brother Scotty brought up was extremely important earlier in regards to what you always say about feeding the roots and things of that nature when you partake of the fruit. Now, on Tuesday, on Real Life, the radio show, which also comes on Black Talk Radio Network, we had a discussion, and in that discussion, I brought up the fact of the aspect of culture, and that what something you said. We have been so infected with this filthy system that we think and behave idiosyncratically and against our own best interests. But that is the design of the system of white supremacy. It's designed to retard us. Two Tuesdays ago, we went into that in depth as far as how far we've actually fallen from a scientific standpoint. Now, what I was talking about was culture and the fact that we need to raise our children to do the things that we as adults that are infected by the system idiosyncratically do not do. So if you raise your children to support the different vehicles of media that pertain to our people, then we would have a whole new generation of people who don't think and behave like we do. Now, you can look at BET as an example, Ebony and Jet magazine, and even go back to the NBA. Scotty is correct. Anytime the enemy sees that we have the means of reaching thousands, millions of our people, they want those platforms for propaganda. That is why BET was acquired, because BET is trash now. that is why Ebony and Jet was acquired.
Don't forget the root.
The NBA was acquired.
Don't forget the root.
Exactly. And Dr. Ben and Dr. Clark used to tell us all the time when we would sit at their feet to be taught that they were offered millions of dollars, sometimes by government agencies, sometimes by media and entertainment, to stop doing what they were doing. If they were willing to get on board with the system of white supremacy, tell the lies about the history of black people that white supremacy tells, they could have been millionaires. They did not do so, so they died pretty much in poverty. So we just have to really get to a place where we develop a culture that is sustaining for our people. We haven't done that yet. And I believe, like you have said before, that the children are the key. Not too many of us adults are left confused enough to understand the importance of supporting vehicles and platforms like Black Talk Media Project and any other group of people that are trying to provide counter-racist, counter-the-system propaganda and information to help us navigate this destructive terroristic system that we're in. So we really have a lot of work to do in regards to changing our conceptual framework around the system, changing our conceptual framework around what we think the problem is. And like I think it was Pastor Keith who said it, or Brother Davis, I've said it a billion times. I coined the term ideological tribalism. That is the major issue for black people in the United States. We suffer from that. We are tribal in regards to ideology, whether it's rich, religious, whether it's any sort of ideology. If one set of people is not with the same program I'm with, then basically you're the enemy and screw you is the mentality. Now, we have to get past that, because as much as colonizers kill themselves and don't like themselves, they are willing to put aside their issues with each other to handle non-white people, and then they go back to killing each other like they always have. So we need to take the same approach in regards to how we deal with each other and developing a code of respect in regards to how we treat and deal with each other, especially when we come in contact with each other and in public spaces. This is something that I've said a billion times. The greatest example of this sort of codification is the Jewish community. And I talked about that on this past Tuesday's program. If we can get to a space where no matter where we see each other, we all understand what the problem is, we might have different means of going about wanting to solve the problem, but we are united in the fact that we know what the problem is, we can be independent in the approach to how we choose to solve it. But if enough of us are doing things against the system, then cumulatively, it's going to have an effect that's going to eventually collapse the system. So hey, with that, I know it's kind of noisy. I'm outside right now. With that, I'll mute myself and thank you all for a phenomenal program.
Peace hey, hey, if I may, before we go to break, on the other side of the break, I do want to get back to the military piece, because there's something else that I want to share. It has nothing to do with the Navy, but it has to do with ground forces and some corruption that has recently been revealed. But to something Ross and if y'all, I don't know if they posted the podcast yet, but that was a very stimulating conversation on Real Life Radio Show we had the other night. But I would say to Ross, though, like I said that night, you know, is 100% unity possible? We know it's not. Okay. But also, we can't want to unify with everybody to the point that we make ourselves susceptible to infiltration. Because that was what killed the Panthers. You know what I'm saying? The FBI COINTELPRO. I mean, they even had black FBI agents start a Black Panther chapter in Baltimore. A lot of people don't know this history, man. And just that we have to be careful of infiltration, because the enemy, and this goes, I think I've heard you say this, Ross, you know, the enemy without can't do nothing to you. It's the enemy within who lets the enemy in. You know what I'm saying? The collaborators and whatnot. Yeah. So we also had to be cognizant of that.
So definitely, and then we're gonna go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, please give us a call, 704-802-5056. Scotty said he wanted to bring something about the military, the ground forces, and Rod said some really enlightening things, and I wanted to just say, you know, Rise really hit it when it's our children. This war is going to be about consuming our children. And so we need to have the appropriate response for all of that. So, but go ahead, Scotty.
I don't know if you saw this article, and I don't know which branch of the military this guy was in. He might have been working at the Pentagon, but this guy just got arrested because he was being paid, you know, under the table by a private corporation based in the Middle East to provide food services for the military, our military troops and what have you. And so what happened was he was writing the stuff for them, telling them how to write it to get the contract and all this and that. He was getting paid under the table, so he got arrested for that. But then that was like, okay, we should be, again, the U.S. military should be able to feed itself. You know what I'm saying? Why would you contract with a civilian corporation that's based in the Middle East to feed your troops? To me, that's a vulnerability right there.
There's a setup. It's plausible deniability, Scotty, for that corrupt. Exactly. They're setting it up.
Well, also, it's an extension of what we just got done seeing with all those Chinese chips in the computers. You know?
Having to remove the Chinese hardware out of the U.S. military.
Well, not so much in them removing it, because they found out now they can't remove it.
Yeah.
But they got that same vote by the exact same thought process of what Scotty's talking about.
Right. And why would you do that? Right. Unless you, it's all a part of an agenda. It's a conspiracy agenda. And very, very significant. You know, and that's crazy, you know, because that is a part of the whole corruption that's there.
Sure it is.
And they're going to lay waste to to the children. These individuals, man, it's so, so bad. And like Roz said, it's about our children. And very, very significant. And thanks, Roz. I saw that article with the actual thermite and the stuff with the controlled demolition for the incident in New York, because we all know that that's what it was. And so they're going to admit, yeah, this did happen years and years later. But see, the overall, initially, the conspiracy theory was that, no, it was some plan. See, they were using that for what they needed, that overall momentum to that overall propaganda to facilitate for them. And so, but I want to get back to this real quick, because it all ties into everything that we're talking about. This whole thing with Russia is very, very serious. Russia is going to invade the Ukraine and Georgia. They're going to do it, and they're going to lay waste to anybody that gets in their way to doing it. Now, I want to go back to 2008 when Cheney was vice president. There was, we played this a while ago, but let me show you why Georgia is so important. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to post this. Well, let me play it from right here, only because it's a breaking point that we have to do. And I'm not going to play the whole thing because it's really long. It's like 30 minutes long. We're not going to do that. We're going to play like 5 minutes of it, because I want y'all to hear something that's very, very significant when it comes to what's going on. No, let me post this in there so Scotty can do it. Let me find it. Okay, so we're going to get to, there it is, 446. And then where are we going to take it to, Dave? All right, we're going to take it to, oops. Got it. We're going to take it to, 1 second, bear with me. 10 minutes, okay. All right, cool. Let me put this in the chat room so you can all hear this significance of Georgia. All right, let me put it in the chat room. 4, oops, let me get this, 4:46 for Scotty. Get this, oops, 1 second. Don't want to go too long because we need to talk about this as well. So we just play, 9 minutes. Okay, so Scotty, that's the time. If you would play this at the 4:42 to the 9 minute second, and want to lay this. So let me give you real quick what happened in 2008. 2008, when Cheney was vice president,
this is an ad for a project,
and Bush was president,
management tool called Monday.com.
They made a move. Okay. I think Scotty may have it already. They made a move on Georgia. And they had a new president. He assured Medvedev that nothing would happen. Medvedev goes on vacation. Medvedev is the president of Russia, and Putin is the prime minister. And Putin slams this whole attack shut. He moved tactical nukes into Georgia. He was about to use them. He told him to use them against U.S. forces if Cheney doesn't pull them out. What did Cheney do? Backed out. So when Scotty gets a chance, but we need to know the significance of this whole thing.
Closed we'll and come back ran up. Into the cellar. Less than 5 hours after Saakashvili's appeal for peace, the first Georgian rockets hit Milena Street. With a crying toddler in her arms, she sought refuge in her basement among pickle jars and pots of jam. My little grandson cried, "Grandma, the Georgians will kill us." I said, "I'm Georgian. Do you think I'm going to kill you?" He replied, "No, Grandma, you're not really Georgian. Georgians kill people." The timing of the attack caught the Russian leadership off guard. President Medvedev was on holiday, while Prime Minister Vladimir Putin had traveled to China for the Olympics.
Since its beginning, arms have been put down during the Olympic Games. But here, the situation was completely the opposite. On the eve of the opening ceremony, the Georgian authorities undertook aggressive actions against South Ossetia. They basically launched a military campaign with the use of heavy artillery and tanks. People have been killed and wounded, including Russian peacekeepers. This is sad and alarming. And without doubt, this will be met with a response.
When Putin was giving that message, the Russian response had already been mobilized. Following the skirmishes on the border, Medvedev cut his holiday short. He was brought to this residence on the outskirts of Moscow, where he would face the most challenging test to his presidency. He already knew about the deaths of Russian peacekeepers and the thousands of South Ossetians streaming across the border into Russia.
The heavy weight of military decisions always lies on the person that is empowered by the Constitution to take them. You can't escape that. This is your decision and no one else's. We talked on the phone sometime before these events. There was a kind of escalation. We didn't talk with Mr. Putin that night. I only received reports from our army commanders. Actually, it was upon receiving these reports that I made the decision. I think it was the most difficult decision in my life. I wouldn't wish the weight of this decision on any other leader of any other country in the world.
In the meantime, the barrage of rockets on Skhinval continued unabated. The residents had only two options: hide in the basement or try to flee the town. The Jusoy family decided to take their chances. The father gathered his kids into an old Lada, but the mother had to stay behind to care for an elderly relative. All she would see of them again was their charred remains that were found a few kilometers away from home after their car was shelled by a tank.
This is where my son and his children died. He was in the front seat. How could they shoot at children? They are monsters.
Those who stayed put sought refuge in basements. However, they also had to risk their lives by sneaking out. Food and water was running short, and the bodies of those killed were piling up. Locals used the rare lulls in fighting to dig graves. Since proper funerals were out of the question, most of the victims were laid to rest wrapped in linen and carpets, right in their own backyards.
The neighbors couldn't drive them to the cemetery because the fighting was still going on, but neither could they leave the bodies out here. It's a matter of honor for South Ossetians. You have to bury your dead.
Okay, so Let me give you a little background on that. That's in the country of Georgia. South Ossetia is a large Russian settlement. And what happened was that during the Olympics, the 2008 Olympics, the U.S.-backed Georgian government went against their overall promise that they made to the president of Russia, Medvedev, that there would be no more fighting and that they would not target South Ossetia. And then what they did was the U.S. military moved in and they started to attack South Ossetia during the overall Olympics. Putin is the prime minister, Medvedev is the president. The first voice that you heard was of Putin, saying that he was in Beijing for the overall Olympics. What they did then was that they provided Russian troops started to move into Georgia and South Ossetia, and they were bringing tactical nukes. Putin contacts Cheney and says they're bringing tactical nukes and we're going to use them as soon as we get into Georgia. Immediately once that happened, that's when Cheney pulled back the overall onslaught in Georgia. Why is that so important? You see, the Ukraine and Georgia, your former states of the Soviet Union, where they have Russian settlements all throughout those countries. So they're not going to allow those countries to ever be a part of NATO. And what they did was that they are willing to defend that sovereignty, that overall country sovereignty, with nuclear capabilities, cellular capabilities. So yesterday, when we prayed the other day that Georgia was going to be a part of NATO, I knew right away that was an act of war against Russia. Now the Ukraine is going to do it. That's an act of war against Russia.
What month was that? That was early 2008, right?
No, that was in July. 2008, because it was during the Summer Olympics in Beijing. And remember what happened in the Summer Olympics of Beijing. If you've never seen the opening ceremony if you've never seen the 2008 opening ceremonies of the Summer Olympics in Beijing, there was a clear and defined message that was sent to one nation. That was the United States from the opening ceremony. Look at the coordination and the military coordination and the military, how it was choreographed militarily to send a message to the U.S. And it shows the power of China. If you've never seen that opening ceremony of the 2008 Summer Olympics, go and look at it and you'll be amazed. You'll come away with, you can't beat them. And they showed Bush's face, and celebrity figurehead Bush was like, because he got the message, because they told him what that was. And so, very, very significant. So, Russia is not going to allow the U.S. or NATO to have any military ships in the Black Sea or in the Sea of Azov. It's not going to allow it. They're not going to allow them to be NATO countries. They're not going to allow NATO to now move any form of military in there. I anticipate that Russia will invade the Ukraine within 2 weeks. Hope it doesn't happen, but the likelihood of it happening. Why is that so important? Because our young people are going to be drafted, because that's going to invoke a war. If a naval vessel from the U.S. goes into the Black Sea or challenges the overall coastal waters of Russia, they're going to be met with a military confrontation, and that military confrontation can turn into a U.S. Warship being sunk. And let me tell you what's going to happen when that happens. Congress will go into an emergency meeting, and they will declare war on Russia. There it goes. And then everything changes. Cyber attacks will be huge, 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 huge. The same way they blacked out the Donald Cook is the same way that they'll black out major cities and other places here in the States. So these are the things that we need to know about and prepare for. There's no way in the world that Russia is going to allow the Georgia or the Ukraine to be a part of NATO. And NATO knows that. What is NATO doing? They're actually trying to have plausible deniability to have first strike against Russia. And we are at a position, it doesn't matter who's going to shoot first. We just know that it's about to happen. And we know what the outcome of that is going to be. Congress has already told you they lose. So, and I'm not surprised, even from the celebrity figurehead Donald Trump standpoint, he will push it, because why? Now they won't be able to have an impeachment of him. And Congress will be forced, absolutely forced, to declare war. And when you declare war, guess what? You can't have a change of command. So it's really, really significant. It's here. I will post these inside of Tando's show's page inside of BTR community. We definitely need to prepare. And we'll catch up with the significance of the CFO being arrested in Canada. That is huge.
Yeah, what was I supposed to remind you of that, Scotty? You remember you told me to remind you of something you wanted to get into about what Scotty was talking about?
Thanks, Keith. That's your reminder?
Yeah.
Well, thanks for that one. We'll have to remember that one later, then. I'm going to let you sit on that one. But very important, everyone, that we prepare. And because remember, when U.S. declares war, they're going to start the draft. You notice at the mail, at the post office, if you've been there, they've got the draft stuff all over. Make sure you register for the draft. Make sure it was taken down 2 years ago. You wouldn't see that anywhere. And we've already. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother David.
I want people to understand the significance of this draft. You know, they're taking our daughters away from us now. You see, people fail to realize when these bills was being passed, and people said, "Oh, that won't happen. That's what they said when Trump started running the office. Now you see how he got to the presidency, because now they got a puppet that will do anything to stay on the string. He may not like the job, but he can't leave it now. So we got to accept the fact that this affects the whole generational structure of every culture that is involved in this, because I'm going to tell you now, it's going to come home. This is going to come to American shores eventually. They might want a conventional war, and if they have a conventional war, that means that people are going to want to take priority. Don't think Russia and China is just going to go to war with the United States and say, okay, American people, y'all can live comfortably where you are. No, they're not. They're coming in here,
right,
and they're demanding to take. So let's open our eyes to all of it. This is more than just a war. This could actually be generational genocide to certain cultures. I just wanted to add that.
Hey, very, very well so, Brother Davidson. And I didn't mean to laugh when you said that Trump, now he can't leave. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And that's what the real threat is that this war is actually going to, in the U.S., the NORCOM commander said that the United States is the homeland is no longer a sanctuary, meaning that cyber is going to hit you, missiles are going to hit you, ballistic missiles are going to hit you. You're going to be thrown into a wartime scenario. What you pervade over the rest of the world will now come to the U.S. shores in itself, because you're going to be fighting a military that's capable of delivering that type of engagement. And believe me, they're not going to not do it, because China will be hit, Russia will be hit, but I far see that the overall armaments of the U.S. will be very, very mitigated in that overall approach, because they have access denial capabilities that the U.S. has. Remember how scary the U.S. was with China's and Russia's hypersonic weaponry. Boy, going to be here. So that is going to, whoa. So it's so funny. So now, celebrity figurehead national security person Bolden was having dinner with Jay Ping when the CFO was arrested. So what is he doing? He's sending a message. Man, this thing is going to go bad. It's going bad. And the war directly affects every single one of us. So. We will we'll carry this further, and we'll talk about that overall engagement. Definitely make sure, never scared, always prepared, do what it is that you need to do. We will bring you And what it was, Keith, that you were supposed to remind me of is talking about our overall seminar that we're going to have for folks. We will put that together, and we'll definitely want you a part of that. So much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Be aware of what's going on, because things are going to change. And as soon as they do change, have a plan. Have a plan. So without further ado, great creator willing, we'll be back tomorrow. And before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants